This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is truly an icon in the tech industry. Guy Kawasaki is a former Apple employee, software evangelist at Apple in the 80s, chief evangelist for Apple in the mid-90s, served under three different CEOs, Steve Jobs, John Sculley, and what was Emilio's last name anyway?
Gil Emilio.
It was his last name. There you go.
Yeah.
currently advisor at Motorola, author of a number of books, and we're going to get to the latest, Ape, author, publisher, entrepreneur, a little later in the show. But because I have the opportunity here, I really want to talk to Guy about the evolution of marketing, because you've been right at the cutting edge. First, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Great to have you. So let's start. I know you were the software evangelist in the 80s, but I don't really want to go back quite that far. So let's start talking about marketing in the 90s. You can start in the 80s if you like, because there probably wasn't a lot of difference until the web started to get some traction.
I'm sorry. I missed that question. This train just went by.
Okay. That's okay. I don't think there's a lot of difference between marketing in the 80s into the 90s until the web started to take hold. So let's start by talking about marketing in the 1990s, direct mail, big events, et cetera. What did you guys do?
Well, it was direct mail, big events, Super Bowl ads. It was more or less traditional.
Mm-hmm.
The web was just starting, so people were pointing people to the web as a source of information. And I'd say that characterized things maybe till 2005 or so. And then when social media took off with Twitter this was staged, obviously. It didn't all happen at once. But mm-hmm. Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest will be in there soon. Google Plus doesn't have any advertising, but it is a form of marketing, not advertising.
Mm-hmm.
All these social media things, which are fast, and free and ubiquitous, I think it's a great time to be a marketing person. You compared to what? If you go back to the 1930s, maybe you could run an ad in a newspaper and maybe you could get people to the ballroom of the New York Hilton or something.
Mm-hmm.
But today, using Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and LinkedIn and Pinterest, you can just reach millions of people instantly.
What were you guys doing back at Apple in the 90s? I mean, you were creating a lot of buzz in the tech world, but the footprint of Apple hardware wise at the time was maybe 7-8% of the market. But everything you guys did was under the microscope.
Yeah. Apple, for better or for worse, good news, bad news, was always under the microscope. I think because a lot of people related to it, that two guys in a garage is starting this from a passionate hobby. These are the kids next door, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas if you think about, Remington Rand or Sperry Univac or NCR or IBM, it's a little harder to kind of relate to those companies as an individual. So for the entire lifespan of Apple, it's always been under the microscope, and it's been very helpful, but it's also been painful at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, when all the warts show up as well as all of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you guys being at in Silicon Valley, so like in what was it, 95, I believe, August, Netscape actually launches the first probably significant email package. So you guys were there. I'm assuming Steve was not there at the time, right? When that hit?
When Netscape?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, because, you know, he wasn't out of Apple that long. I don't know.
Well, Scully was there, I think, from like 85 to 97. So, but you guys... The Silicon Valley mafia, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah.
You guys are at the cutting edge of tech. In D.C., we're thinking email, you know, what is this? you know, is it evil? Is it good? Is it going to be, you know, honey, bring me the bread? But you guys are out there using it.
Well, just so you know, at the same time, we were in Silicon Valley saying, what the hell is a lobbyist for? Why would you need a lobbyist?
Well, yeah, Apple resisted that one for a long, long time.
I guess you know you have arrived when you need a lobbyist.
I guess. I haven't needed one yet. I think I irritate a few, though. But you know... Did Apple, you had a presence in the government market because you had a reseller here, Falcon Microsystems, that had the exclusive Apple deal to sell to the government. You probably weren't involved in that side. But you know, tell, what was the Apple website like way back when? You were the software evangelist in the, you know, through 87, and you came back in 95, just in time, really, to start exploiting this new web phenomena. How did you leverage that?
Well, you're asking me to remember what a website looked like.
Well, I mean, they were all flat, right?
Well, I think the first stage of websites was basically brochureware, right?
Yeah.
So you took your marketing materials, you slapped it up there, and there was no community, there was no interaction. Do you remember when people were afraid to use their credit card online?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now you click on, do you want me to remember the credit card number so you don't have to? You know.
Well, I mean, now you're enraged if you can't store your credit card number so the second time you come back, you don't have to enter it in again, right?
Yeah.
So we've come a long way, baby.
A very long way. And I believe you know Mr. Hoffman of LinkedIn.
Yes.
And prior to that at PayPal. So, I mean, you know, talk about your absolutely cool idea. You don't have to plug in your credit card thing here. Just use PayPal.
Yep.
So, man.
Those are the days.
Well, yeah, but you know, they're still here. You run a company called Garage Technology Ventures. What is this?
Garage Technology Ventures is an early stage venture capital firm. It's looking for, you know, two guys in a garage as an investment.
Okay.
But having said that, I'm not very active in that anymore. Today, I'm primarily an advisor to Motorola, mm-hmm. a speaker, and a writer.
Okay. How are you advising Motorola on the trends in the market as you see it?
I'm advising Motorola on anything and everything, from product design to marketing, social media, employee issues, customer issues. Just, I've been given a really broad and free hand.
That's pretty cool.
It's really, if you sat down and said, okay, like, you know, let's design a really great, great advisory job, you'd be hard pressed to come up with something better than this.
I've had a couple of gigs like that. They're for me, they're rare. But they're a lot of fun. And you can actually feel the impact when you actually, you know, have a gig like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can see results if people listen. So, and I have to assume they listen to you. Let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Guy Kawasaki, advisor to Motorola Mobility, and a guy who hangs with the tech people that we read about and is one of the people that we read about. Guy, tell me what your favorite social networking platform or platforms are.
By far, my favorite is Google Plus. I happen to love Google Plus. I like the aesthetics. I like the people. I like the ability to put in pictures and albums and, you know, embed video. In a sense, Google Plus is just the culmination of Twitter and Facebook and everything that came before it. And Google had the benefit of seeing what other people tried and, you know, cherry picking the best.
Okay, and you actually, in middle of 2012, you came out with a book called What the Plus,
yes.
Which is the according to people at Google that I know, the ultimate Google Plus guide. So
let me know who those people are.
the same ones that want me to get to use it more. But and I told him, I said, since I read Guy's book, maybe I'll do some more stuff over here. I told you in between, I'm a huge fan and user of LinkedIn, but Google has that sort of added benefit of having Google, or Google Plus has the added benefit of having Google behind it. So anything you do there is obviously going to be enhanced with all of the search that goes behind. So your SEO is embedded, et cetera.
For people who are hesitant to join, you know, yet another social media network and, you know, yet another thing to do, consider the fact that you know, this is not about joining a new social media site made by two guys in a garage with $5 million in venture capital. This is Google, for crying out loud. I mean,
yeah.
This is the 8 million pound gorilla.
Yeah.
And I would say it would be dumb to bet against Google.
Well, I joined it as soon as it opened, but I didn't start using it until probably just a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
mm-hmm.
I was asked by a couple of the Google guys in the government market to take a more serious look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as you just intimated, you know, joining one more social media network. I'm on Facebook, but I'm only on Facebook because I have a 16-year-old son. I am on Twitter, but I use Twitter as a push mechanism. I don't use it for a conversation media.
I use all of social media as a push mechanism.
Well, you got a lot of stuff to push. I mean, you know, I go to your LinkedIn profile, and there's at least five current articles or PowerPoints up there with guys sharing information, and it's all good stuff. I read it.
Thank you.
I printed a couple of them out to hand around here at the radio station. It's really cool stuff. So, and one of them has to do, and we'll get there, with the self-publishing side. 10 tips for using social media for authors. Which is cool. And by the way, you can get Guy's books at pretty much any online venue. Amazon has, I think, everything that's still in print. And they have the stuff that's not in print because in the Amazon store things, it goes all the way back to your first book, The Macintosh Way, which is not new.
A long time ago. Yeah,
we won't go there. let's late 80s.
A long time ago.
But cool. So, okay, so you spend some time on Google Plus. Do you use Facebook at all?
The way I use Facebook is I have a virtual assistant who takes what I post on Google Plus and reposts it on Facebook.
Okay. Now,
so
how much
Google
time?
Plus is the only place where it's me and only me.
Okay. How much time do you spend with your virtual so they know what you're thinking, kind of thing?
Zero. I mean, basically, they look at what I do on Google Plus, and they just take it and post.
Okay. Okay, so it's a totally seamless operation from your end.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so same thing on LinkedIn?
Same thing on LinkedIn, but now my virtual assistant is going to go back through my backlog of long essays and post those, because I have a, believe it or not, I have a body of work about, you know, lots of long essays about how to do things that are perfect for the long format of LinkedIn. LinkedIn has two formats, right? Sort of the quick and dirty update and the long format.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start having more stuff in the long format.
Well, you know, one of the things that I want to talk to you about, especially because of the new book, author, publisher, entrepreneur, is the development of content, the sharing of content, the pushing of content, getting feedback on content. I've been huge on content since I decided marketing was my profession, because I think that information helps sell stuff.
Yep.
And you were really good at that as your, you know, the first gig you did with Apple, the software evangelist. You were pushing information, content about how and why this stuff was better and easier to use than the other stuff that was out there.
I don't know. I was ahead of my time.
You were. you know, it is what it is, right? Okay. So you mentioned Pinterest. I don't know if you mentioned Instagram earlier. What are you seeing? I mean, you sit on the advisory boards of several startups, and I'm not even going to run through the litany because I have no clue as to what they do. Are you looking for the next Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook?
You damn right I am.
What
I only need to find one.
Well, that's true, but what form is it going to take? What functionalities is it going to need?
Well, hell, if I knew that, I would just do it myself.
Well, there you know, get two guys in the garage. Yeah,
right. I have no idea. That's and if anybody tells you they have an idea, they're lying. They're
okay.
Either lying or delusional. Maybe both,
but you know, over the years, I'm sure both of us have seen our fair share of delusional people out there.
But you know, the thing is that the what separates the delusional from the visionary is that the visionary happened to get lucky and was right.
Okay.
So it's very hard to figure out who's delusional and who's visionary at the point of starting the company.
Okay, so when you were more active in Garage Technology Ventures, what were the driving factors in you saying yes or no? Well, the driving factors for yes, that's all I want, for an investment. What give me a couple of examples of things you may have invested in. You can name them or just leave them unnamed.
Well, basically, I like to invest in things that I use. I guess this is kind of the Peter Lynch theory. And sometimes I've invested, actually many times, I've invested in things that I use, but come to find out, maybe I'm the only person. So you know, that's kind of a problem. But that's my thesis. I have a partner at Garage who has a very different thesis, and he's much more sort of market-driven, you know, big picture oriented, and he's actually a better investor than I am, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
So I'm not telling you to follow my concept, okay?
No, but you know, I like the Lynch theory too. If I use it, it makes sense to me. You know, it's palpable.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't put my mind around it, which is, seems to be a phrase that shows up in yours, wrap your mind around this. I saw that in a couple of your essays, but it's true. If you can't wrap your mind around it, how can you invest in it, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that is absolutely true. Except that breaks down because I bet a lot of people could not wrap their mind around Twitter. I bet a lot of people could not wrap their mind around Facebook. I bet a lot of people couldn't wrap their mind around YouTube. You know, infinite servers, infinite bandwidth, so that people can upload stolen content. So, You know, sometimes it's just better to be lucky than smart.
Or hopefully a combination of a little bit of both.
Yeah, but if you had to choose, yeah, I'd choose lucky.
There you go. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio. We will be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Guy Kawasaki. I'd like to throw out a thank you to Jack Covert for hooking me up with Guy. Jack is the CEO of what is his CEO books?
1-800 CEO Read.
CEO Read, yeah. And it's a wonderful website because he has it's all business books. And, you know, there's always something new out there on his site that I'm not aware of. So, yeah. And when I did, when I saw the notice for Ape coming out, I reached out, I looked at, what I did was look at LinkedIn, see who you were linked to that I knew. And there, we share 13 connections, and four or five of them I know pretty well, and Jack I knew best, and it took him all of like 15 minutes to respond to me and shoot you an email.
Well, you know,
Power of social media.
I hate to burst your bubble, but if you had just sent me an email, it would have been faster. It would have saved 15 minutes.
it probably would have, but I didn't have your email address.
Oh, okay. Well.
See, so I needed Jack for that.
Okay.
But again, you know, power of social media, you know, 6 degrees of separation, you know, if I had not known Jack or you know, Mike Faith or several other people, you know, I don't know how the heck I would have reached.
So you know Mike Faith too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Headset?
Yeah. Yeah, I've known Mike for 10 plus years. He does sell headsets to the government, and that's certainly falls within the advice that I give in this market. I've worked with a lot of companies like Mike's. So we take a look at my profile. We share 13 of them. So
you want to hear a funny story though with LinkedIn? I have literally thousands of pending requests.
Oh,
in fact, LinkedIn has told me that I have the most pending requests of anybody. I don't know if that's still true, but it was true. So I probably have lots more points of commonality with you than the 13. The problem for me is if I were to accept all of those, then this concept of, you know, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows you. Will you help
right.
me?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think so. I mean,
you only have so much time. And the less you know someone, the less likely you are to do it.
Yeah.
So how do you know Mike?
I don't know. He keeps sending me a headset every year.
Well, there you go.
We just got to be friends, and you know, I love that he owns that niche. So, very clever guy.
Yeah, and the simple fact that he knows to send you, you know, the latest, greatest, either Plantronics or Netcom,
yep.
Jabra, you know, tool. I have to believe that you do not use a handset with any frequency. Safe assumption.
I'm on a Sennheiser right now that I got from Mike.
Oh, there you go. Oh, well, I'll have to. You can tell him, or I'll tell him that he was mentioned prominently in this show.
Thank you.
There we go. But you know, let's go back to the LinkedIn thing. I'm downloading some of the stuff that you got there, and one of them I think has to relate to the new book. It's 10 social media tips for authors of any kind. So let's chat about these for a couple minutes here. Your first tip is start yesterday. What do you mean by this?
Start yesterday means the moment you start writing a book, thinking of writing a book, you need to start building your social media network. Because it takes a while to do this. And lots of authors, they wait till the very end and they say, oh, yeah, I guess I got to market this. Maybe I should get active on social media. Well, it's kind of too late because it's a 6 to 9 month project.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's in this article or not, but you do mention how major publishers select people not predicated on the topic, but their ability to market their own book, which is key. You know, when Wiley got in touch, with me about doing a book on government because their bestseller, David Meerman Scott, knows me, and yeah. He heard that they were going to be doing a book on government. He said, well, if you're going to do a book on government, you got to talk to Amtower.
That's cool.
Can't get a better endorsement, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, but, you know, part of, they still ask for the whole nine-yard pitch. And a significant part of that was, what's your marketing plan? So, point number two,
what's a little scary about that is the reason why you go to a traditional publisher is because they have the marketing, right? I mean, that's why the split is 90-10 for them. They're supposed to do that, but I digress.
Well, you digress and you don't digress. The reason this essay that you put out and the book, the ape book, are so important is the publishers supposedly have the marketing, but they have the 20th century marketing model. You know, the
you
space.
You think that recent?
Okay, 19th century. Wiley's been around for a while. You're right. And I don't know how many different publishers you went through. Or if you had one publisher for your previous dozen or so books. But yeah, I mean, they're very, very staid, very predictable marketing, very little. You know, I was thrilled when you know, one of their publicists would send me pictures of my books on shelves at Barnes & Noble. I mean, my books are about government. This is not the most exciting, you know, subject matter for most, even business readers. you know, doing business with the government is you know, not even as exciting as watching bread being sliced.
Really?
Well, you know, it is to me because I'm in it and I have an enthusiasm, and my books are very different from traditional books. You know, there's a fair amount of attitude, but I, you know, it's still my job to do the marketing.
So absolutely.
You talk about segmenting the services, and you're talking about like five social media services to choose from here.
Yep.
You call it the five P's of social media. Facebook is for people.
People.
Twitter's for perceptions.
Yep.
Google Plus is for passions.
Yep.
LinkedIn is for, I love this, LinkedIn is for pimping.
Yeah. So, do you disagree?
Well, I use LinkedIn for positioning. And in my market niche, and it seemingly it's pervasive in pretty much anything to do with technology. You can build a thought leadership platform on LinkedIn, and I guess that could be a pimping kind of activity. but as long as it's a legitimate basis for the platform, it's eminently doable.
Listen, of all people in the world, I'm not saying pimping is bad. I'm just saying it's pimping. Let's call a spade here.
Okay. Well, it's certainly an interesting way to push it.
Well, I was struggling to find P words, you know.
I understand that.
There was pimping, there was prostitution, there was, you know, yeah. I was running out of words.
Yeah, and you know, Pinterest is the fifth, and that's for pinning pictures with, you say, with little interaction. I don't use Pinterest, so explain that for me.
Well, Pinterest is a place where predominantly women pin pictures of stuff that they find great, which is, you know, lovely. It's a very interesting site. If you want to look at fashion and shoes and design and all this kind of stuff, but if you look at the pins, there's not a whole bunch of comments on them. Like, you know, in a Google Plus about gun control, right, you'll have 400 comments. And if you were to pin a picture of an AK-47 and talk about gun control in Pinterest, which it just would not work. You wouldn't get that many comments, and it's just not the time or the place. That's why I say you have to segment these things.
Okay.
It determines what kind of post. Not every social media should have the same kind of post, basically. Okay.
But each of them can be used for a person who is publishing anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's take that after the break.
Okay.
You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back with Guy right after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm here today with Guy Kawasaki. Guy's latest book, actually his two latest books, you should both pick up. The latest is Ape, author, publisher, entrepreneur. And just a couple of months before he put that out, he came out with What the Plus, the book about using Google Plus that Google effuses over. So we were talking about leveraging various social medias for authors publicizing their books. When you say make a great profile, what do you mean?
Making a great profile. So I think that social media is a place that people make snap judgments. You know, is a person worth friending, following, circling, you know, whatever the verb is. And this is a decision that people make in a few seconds. And one of the most important ways they make a decision is to look at your profile. This is kind of your resume, your curriculum vitae. And so you have to do this very well. And it means that you put up a picture of you that is primarily your face. It's not you and your Mustang. It's not you and your surfboard. Is not you and your family. It's not you, you know, with your AK-47. It's just your face. All you're trying to do is convince people that you are a trustworthy person and a competent person. And so, believe it or not, there's kind of an art to it. You have a few seconds and one page, and you need to convince people that, yeah, I mean, you know, you're a real person that is worth following. And a lot of people don't do that. They don't put the effort in.
Okay. Curate, don't create.
So curate, don't create means that it's so hard to write a book. It's so hard to keep a blog going. So doing both is like very, very hard. So my suggestion for an author is that because you have so much of your energy in creating a book, your social media presence should be about curating other people's content. So you can have an easier path curating while you are writing your book, creating your book. And what you want to curate is stories that position you as a sector expert, whether it's science fiction, zombies, social media, or government.
Okay. Act like NPR.
Act like NPR means that you are constantly providing great content so that you earn the privilege to promote your book every once in a while.
So you're not just sharing your own content.
They provide great content all year, and then every once in a while they run a telethon. They don't run a telethon every day.
Right. Okay, so you're talking about when you find anything great from any source, get it out there.
Yes.
Cool. I like that. I find the next one extremely interesting. Restrain yourself.
Yes. Restrain yourself is kind of the other side of the NPR model, which is you should be promoting your own things one out of 20 times. Imagine if NPR were running the telethon every day, and then once in a while they run Fresh Air. You would never listen to NPR.
Okay. So it's kind of a Pareto principle on steroids.
Yes.
Okay. The next one's cool, too. I mean, these are pretty neat. Candify.
Candify means that every post you make should have an embedded video or a picture.
Okay.
It's just the way it is.
Just make it sweeter.
Yeah, make it, you know, it has to catch people's eyes because you're in a very busy area. You're in a very busy world where lots of people have lots of cool stuff, and the stuff without pictures just doesn't pop.
Okay. And I you know, we're all visual learners anyway. And when I'm teaching classes on LinkedIn or coaching people on using LinkedIn, I tell them that the first thing people look at, regardless of what they say, is that photo. So the photo better sell you.
I hear you, baby.
There you go. All right. Number eight is respond.
Yeah, respond means that you have to, when people comment on your post, you have to respond to them. That's kind of where you separate the men from the boys, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the action really happens. And it takes a lot of work to do this. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, yeah, but I've seen people out there who have virtual assistants. They post content on LinkedIn groups, but they never, ever, ever go back and comment on people's comments. I find that irritating.
Listen, I do this too. So I have virtual assistants and ghosts and copy contributors who do it too.
Mm-hmm.
If I do comment, it's only me. Nobody ever comments as me. But you know, when you're on four or five services and there's lots of comments flying around,
yeah,
it's hard to keep on top of it.
Yeah. But you know, you and Seth Godin, David Meerman Scott, you're in a slightly different strata. This is a guy who consults in the government market. If he doesn't have time to comment on his own stuff, I think he may be one of those people who's drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much. So
well, there is no case to be made that commenting is not good. I mean, the more you comment, the better it is. That's
right.
The bottom line.
Okay. I love the next one. Stay positive or stay silent.
Yeah, but by that I mean, and listen, I'm the first person who violates this too sometimes. I'm trying to say that getting into a urinating match is just not a winning strategy. I mean, you may think you're doing battle and you're going to, you know, slay this guy, this troll, but people
What's
are going to come
point?
In the middle of the conversation and they're not going to understand the whole context. And, you know, it's just kind of not worth it. But I admit, I do it.
Yeah, I mean, we probably all have, but I understand. I mean, you know, I just say avoid any negativity. You know, there are some posts that just really beg for it. You know, somebody can't spell, somebody has, you know, a four-page sentence with no verbs.
Yeah.
You know, we've all seen this, but pass on commenting. Don't take a cheap shot because it reflects on you, not them.
Yep.
So, and number 10 is repeat. So this is like the shampoo gig, rinse and repeat.
Yeah. What I'm saying there is your best stuff you should repeat, because the assumption that everything that is worth posting is probably worth repeating, because you can't assume that everybody who's interested is there at the same time. I mean, this is why CNN keeps repeating stories, right? I mean,
yep.
If you ever have nothing better to do, go watch CNN for a while, and you'll see that, man, they repeat all the time.
Yep.
The exact same story. I don't mean an update on the same story. I mean the same
clip, stuff,
the same everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you watch it for long periods of time, you say, I've seen that person before. I've seen, you know, the background guy in the crowd.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, obviously they're not stupid. They know what they're doing. And I mean, just think about it. The concept that everybody you want to reach happens to be there at 8 a.m. Pacific?
Yeah.
I mean,
not going to happen.
Not going to happen indeed.
There you go. Guy, thanks so much for joining me today. Guy's books are available at your favorite online venues, Amazon, etc. I strongly suggest you get What the Plus and Ape, author, publisher, entrepreneur, Guy Kawasaki. Guy, thanks again for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for making time for me. And I don't know when you're going to play this, but have a great weekend.
You'll get the link, man. You'll get the link.
Okay, take care.
Thanks so much. You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is not my day job. Join me on LinkedIn and find out what I'm up to with the Government Market Master Program. You can find out through the Government Market Master Group on LinkedIn. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.